Daf is Daf Chafav Hamid Aleph, and we're studying a sugya that we started yesterday at the bottom of Chafay Hamid Beis. I'll just review quickly some of the sketchy outlines of the sugya. There's something called an Avarnica, which is located in a Pardes. A Pardes is the orchard that's behind the house of some important person, in this case, the Reish Galusa himself. And in the Pardes, as we saw yesterday, there's something called an Avarnica. An Avarnica is a structure that has mechitzos. It's covered by foliage, and apparently it was used by those who went out into the orchard. They would sometimes go into the Avarnica, they would place their kelim there, maybe some of their clothes. And the Reish Galusa wanted to be able to carry in this Pardes. Now the Pardes was a very large orchard. It was more than a Beis HaSayim, and it was not Hukaf Ledira, and therefore it had the din of a Karpaf. You weren't allowed to carry in the orchard. And the Reish Galusa tells Rav Huna to please set up with some sort of takana, something that would allow Tiltul on Shabbos from the house, from this beautiful house of the Reish Galusa, out into the Avarnica. Such that tomorrow, he says, on Shabbos, we should be able to go in, carry our bread into the Avarnica, and have some sort of a picnic there. So Rav Huna, in order to comply with the wishes of the Reish Galusa, he sets up a mechitza that is like a shvil. It's got a pole here and a pole here, a pillar here and a pillar here. Every single pillar is less than 3 tefachim, one from the other, so we can apply lavud. And you could walk down from the opening, the entrance of the house, all the way to the Avarnica, with a wall on one side of you, a wall on the other side of you, and that would serve as a mechitza to allow you to carry from the bayis into, through the Pardes, into the Avarnica. Now, after Rav Huna had set up this wonderful kanam mikan, Rava came along and he removed it. Now, to understand why Rava felt that it was unnecessary to set up this mechitza, and that in fact it would be permissible to carry from the house on Shabbos into the Avarnica, even without any change, any additional mechitzas. So Rashi explains that we have something called a chatzer. And a chatzer is my backyard. If I don't share it with anyone else, I don't need any sort of mechitza, I don't need any eruv. I can simply carry from my house out to the chatzer. Rav was of the opinion that the Pardes, the orchard itself, had the status of a chatzer. What does that mean, it had the status of a chatzer? We said that the Pardes was a karpaf, shelo hukaf ledira. How could Rava entertain the possibility that the Pardes itself, instead of being osu betiltul as a karpaf shelo hukaf ledira, it's muta betiltul because it's a chatzer? So Rashi explains that the Pardes is a chatzer to the Avarnica, meaning the Avarnica itself has mechitzos, and that sets it up as a base dira. And when you go out of the base dira, you go into your chatzer. And now the Pardes has the status of a chatzer. So paradoxically, we saw the Pardes, and that's how the Reish Galusa and Rav Huna understood it, as a karpaf shelo hukaf ledira, and there was an isur tiltul. And Rava sees it in a different perspective. He sees the Pardes as a chatzer that surrounds the Avarnica. And we're up to now the beginning of Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, which is today's Daf. Ozal Rav Papa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Naktinu Mibasre. And Rav Papa and Rav Huna, two of the Talmidim of Rava, were so impressed by Rava, their Rebbe took such a strong view that he took away these kanim that were set up by Rav Huna, that they took these kanim and they gathered them together and put it away in such a way that Rav Huna would not regain access to these kanim and again set up and restructure this machitza. So that's what happens. We have now Rava and two of his Talmidim, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, both of whom understood that you'd be allowed to carry from the bayis through the parties into the Avarnika without any additional machitzos, because the Avarnika sets up a bayis and the parties is now considered the chotzer of the bayis. But Esve Lamachar, the next day, this was on Shabbos, and the Reish Galusa was now ready to go out of his house and enter into the Avarnika, carrying the food into the Avarnika. But Esve Ravina LaRava. Ravina asked the Kash on Rava. Rashi here has two interpretations. We're going to go with the second interpretation of Rashi. Rashi says that Ravina objected to Rava, as did Rav Papa later on, or Rav Huda Breda Rav Shul later on. And what was the objection of Ravina to Rava? Why did he say to Rava, how could you possibly be Matir Tiltil in the Pardes because of the Avarnika without setting up Mechitzos? You want to assume that somehow the Mechitzos of the Avarnika itself could serve to ultimately be Matir Tiltil, permit you to carry in the paradise because the paradise becomes a chotzer for the Avarnika. What are you going to do with the following brisa? This brisa is addressing the issue of calculating the Trum Shabbos in the case of a city that is surrounded by a wall and there are no houses going all the way out to the wall. So the wall is at quite a distance from the last furthest house on the outside boundaries of the city. And the price that differentiates between two cities, Ir Chadasha, if it's quote-unquote a new city, we'll see what that means in a minute, Modedin La Mishivasa, which means that you're not going to calculate the Tchum Shabbos from that extra area, which is surrounded by the Mechitzos, by the Choma, but rather from the last house, the last part of the settlement of this city. But in the case of Ir Yeshana, if it's an old city, quote-unquote, we'll see what that means, then we can calculate the Trum Shabbos Michomasa. So let's imagine that the furthest city and the boundary of the outer boundary of the city is 100 amos away from the Choma. So do we calculate from the last city, and then we'll calculate Alpayim Amma, that's the outer boundary of the city. Or do we add another 100 Amma, free of charge, and count the 2,000 Amma from the Choma itself? It depends. If it's an Ir Chadasha, then L'chumra, we have to calculate it from the Mokum Yeshivasa, where the last house is. If it's an Ir Yeshana, then we have the leniency, and we can expand the size of the city to reach all the way out to the Choma, the wall that surrounds the city. The Braisa continues, Ezehi Chadosha ve'ezehi Yeshana. What are these categories referring to? The Braisa says, Chadosha shehukfa ulabasof yoshva. Yeshana sheyoshva labasof hukfa. Very often, the city would be settled, and afterwards, the Choma, the wall around the city, was structured. But quite often it was just the opposite, that in the urban planning stage, before they actually settled the city and built houses therein, they would already set up the Choma on the empty lot where the city would eventually be built. In the case of a Chadasha, they first set up the Mechitzos, the Choma around the future city, Ulabasof, and subsequently Yoshva, they settled the city. Now, in such a case, those mechitzos that surround the city, the chomo, cannot be considered hukaf ledira, because at the time that you set up these mechitzos, there was no settlement, there were no houses, there was no city. That's called a chadosha. When can you be lenient and expand the size of the city up to the chomo? That's only in an ir yeshana, where after the city was settled, then subsequently they set up the chomo around the city. Wonderful brisa. What's it got to do with us? Hainami, here too, in the case of the orchard, and they set up an avarnica, and you want to say that the mechitzos of the avarnica are going to serve as mechitzos for the paradise, meaning the paradise is like the extension, the chotzer, of the avarnica. That's like kehukfa ulebasov yoshva dami. The hekev was done before the avarnica was set up, meaning you have two sets of mechitzos here. And Rav understood that even though the mechitzos around the paradis were set up in shalol l'shem dira, but now he has another set of mechitzos. He's got the mechitzos of the avarnica. And the mechitzos of the avarnica will now activate the mechitzos of the paradis. So the Gemara says, Ravina asks, that's not true. How could that be? This is a case where the heke for the mechitzos of the paradis was set up even before they established the avarnica. The avarnica was only built subsequently, and therefore there's no way that the mechitzos of the avarnica could in any way possibly validate the mechitzos or the hekif of the paradis, because those mechitzos of the avarnica come subsequent to the paradis itself. Had they set up the avarnica first and then planted an orchard and surrounded the orchard with its own mechitzos, that would be a case similar to an ir yeshana, which would be hukfa ulabasov yoshfa. But your case, Rava, is similar to the case of hukfa. That would be a case, excuse me, of yoshva l'b'sof hukfa. But your case is similar to hukfa l'b'sof yoshva, because the hekif mechitzos around the paradis were established before the avarnica was created. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. Rav Papa has another question, another objection against Rava. And I'm a little bit confused here, because Rava himself was one of the two Talmidim who actually, you know, hid and stowed away the mechitzos, the konim. Anyway, Rav Papa asks Rava the following question. How can you be matir? How could you permit carrying in the paradis? Because the avarnica is considered avarnica lidira, and therefore the mechitzos of the avarnica are mechitzos of hukaf lidira that can now impact on the entire paradis. Not every mechitzah is a mechitzah. Omar av asi mechitzos adrichalim. These are the kablanim, as we call them today. Those people who build houses and they're out there in the burning sun. So what they do is they set up mechitzos, and on top of the mechitzos they put something for tzel, for shade. Lo shma mechitza. And yet those mechitzos do not have the status of a mechitza. And that's a statement that goes back to Rav Asi. That's the first generation of Amoraim. Alma, what do we see from Rav Asi? That kevan de litzini usa avidoleid, that since he built these mechitzos only for the purpose of litzni usa, meaning to cover something, in this case to cover the sun, so it shouldn't burn down on their heads, lo avi mechitza, it's not considered a mechitza, and therefore you don't have something that's called hekef lidira. Why? Because dira means when you live in this area that's been surrounded by mechitzos. Here they're not living there, they're only protecting themselves from the sun. Hachanami, here too, in the case of the avarnica, kevan de litzniusa avida, lo havi mechitza. The avarnica was not built l'shem dira. The avarnica was built so that people from the outside, when they're traveling, or shall I say, they are being metayel, they're walking around the paradise, and they need a place on a temporary basis to put down their, you know, their wares, or they eat a quick picnic lunch. Lavi mechitza, that cannot serve as a mechitza. So that the avarnica is not surrounded by mechitzos lebeis dira, but rather these are mechitzos litzniusa, and therefore the hekif mechitzos of the pardes could not be considered mukafas ladira by virtue of the avarnika, when the avarnika itself doesn't have valid mechitzos, because the halach only validates and recognizes the mechitzos in a case where those mechitzos are for the sake of dira, but not for the sake of tznius, for some other purpose like privacy, or like covering you from and protecting you from the sunshine, from the sun, the heat of the sun, or in this case, to allow you from time to time on a temporary basis to eat your picnic lunch. Third kasha, v'yomer Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua Rava, and again another Talmud of Rava who's asking and raising an objection to Rava, how could you be matir tiltul in the paradise, because of the avarnika of Amar Avhuna mechitza suyil enachas lo shma mechitza. We have a statement of Rav Huna, not to be confused with Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. This is Rav Huna, the Rosh Yeshiva of the previous generation, and he says a mechitza that is only there for the purpose of shmira, which is called the nachas, in order to protect something, it's not called a mechitza. It doesn't qualify as a mechitza. The haraba baravua. And now we're going to prove that Rabba Baravua would not rely on a mechitza if that mechitza was only there for the sake of protection. And then we'll see how Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua is going to compare that to the case of the avarnika. The mechitza is only there for nachas, for shmira. Rabba Baravua ma'ariv leila kula mechoza. There was a city called Mechoza. And Rabba Baravua was the Rav that was trying to set up a heter tiltul by setting up an Eruv around the city of Mechoza. But to our surprise, what he did was, Arsia, each neighborhood unto itself required its own Eruv, which in this case is called Shituf Muvos, meaning that there were Muvos, meaning a Mavui, in each section of the city, meaning separating one neighborhood from the other was a mavui, and all those who would share that particular mavui, all the dayarim, would have to join together in a sheet of muvos in order to allow tiltul in the mavui. Rabba did not establish one single sheet for the entire city, but rather he required a separate sheet for each neighborhood unto itself. And why is that? Mishum Pira Debetori. Pira is a deep ravine, a humanly dug area. And between each neighborhood, in the space between the end of one neighborhood and the beginning of the other neighborhood, they dug into the ground. And in these kind of ditches, they would place Garine Tmorim. These are date pits. And they were food for the shvarim, for the oxen. So the oxen would eat these tmarim. So therefore there were mavos that separated one shchuna from the other. And these mavos would go straight down the entire length of the city. And they would separate one neighborhood from the other. And that prevented Rabba Baravua from setting up an area for the entire city. But you might ask, why couldn't he set up an Eruv for the entire city? After all, there's a choma, there's a wall around the city of Mechoza, and yet Rabba Baravua wanted to set up mechitzos at the end of each one of the mavos of each neighborhood. And the question that the Gemara is asking for a Peira de Beit Tori ki mechitza suyil enachas domi. Okay, fine. There were these mevuvos that were considered mevuvos mefuloshim that separated one neighborhood from the other. So he couldn't set up an Eruv around the city. But why do the mevuvos themselves need any sort of an Eruv, in this case, shituf mevuvos? After all, they made mechitzos at the end of each mavui. Why did they do so? They wanted to protect the Garine Tmorim, make sure that the Garine Tmorim would not be taken away from these ditches, so that they would feed the Shvarim. And therefore, he considered, Rabbah, that these mevos were considered mefuloshim, despite the fact that at the end of each one of these mevos, there were mechitzos. The answer is because it's a mechitza hasuya lenachas. The purpose of the mechitza was only to protect these garinei tamarim. And Rabbah Bar Rav Huna would not rely on the mechitzos that were built and structured at the end of each mavui. If he would have considered so, then all the mavos would be sharing mechitzos, and it would have been considered one city, and he could have set up and relied on the mechitza and the choma that surrounded the city. So we come to the conclusion that mechitza suya l'nachas, similar to the previous Gemara of Rapapa, of a mechitza suya l'tznius, is not called a mechitza. And here the mechitzos at the end of each of the muvos were set up in order to protect the garinei tamarim. That's called lenachas, for shmira. And now we have the objection to Rava. Rava says the avarnika is considered a base dira and it has its own mechitzos. How is that possible? What did they put into the avarnika? What did they use it for? They would put their kelim there, their utensils. Sometimes they would take off a heavy cloak if it was a hot day and they would put it in the Avarnika. They didn't live in the Avarnika. All they did was they used the Avarnika linachas, in order to protect whatever utensils and clothing, articles of clothing that they put in the Avarnika. And therefore, if that be the case, the mechitzos of the Avarnika could in no way serve as valid mechitzos to be matir the pardes. And hence we go back to the original Rav Huna, who on the bottom of Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis had set up these kanim as a separate, as Rav Huna Bar Chanina, as a separate mechitzos in order to allow carrying from the house of the Beit Reish Galusa out into the Avarnika. And Rava could not find any answers to deflect those three kashas, those objections that were raised against him. And now it's Shabbos, and there's no possibility of making a tikkun. And as a result, even Rav is going to have to agree that there's no way that the Reish Galusa could carry the food out to the Avarnika and offer that picnic. Is Kari Ale Reish Galusa? The Reish Galusa was very upset about this situation. So he quoted a pasuk in Yirmiyah to describe Rav and his cohorts, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, who had taken away these kanim that was set up by Rav Huna Bar Chinina. And the pasuk says, "Chachamim hema lahara ulehetiv lo yadu." In other words, lahara leisur, they're great chachamim, and they're going to tell me that I'm not allowed to carry from the paradise, from the house into the paradise, and onto the avarnika. Yesterday, they were great scholars, and they took away the kanim that was set up by Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Lahotiv, so lahetiv lo yadu. Lo yadu means they didn't recognize lahetiv the kula that Rav Huna had set up and organized these kanim as a mechitza that would allow me to carry from the bais into through the parties into the avarnika. Now I'm stuck on Shabbos, and they know lahara. They know how to teach me that it's awesome. Amar Avi Loi, shamati mi Rabbi Eliezer, afilu beis kur. I heard in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, or directly from Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have a karpaf shalo hukaf ledira, you're allowed to carry, even if it's as large as a base kur. A base kur is an area where you could plant 30 sa'a. So we've been talking about a base sa'a sign where you could plant 2 sa'a. And now we're talking about an area that's large enough that you can plant 30 sa'a. And all the tanoim, except for Rabbi Loi, say that once it's a sasayim, then it's a karpaf shalo hukaf ledira, and you're not allowed to carry there. But Rabbi Loi records that Rabbi Eliezer was mekil, and he allowed you up to an area of a base kur, which is 30 saw. And the Gemara says, Masnis in the Mishnah of Rabbi Loi, as he reports, Rabbi Eliezer is against Delo ki Rabbi Chananya. Kir Chananya. Now, the Ritva adds three extra words here. Not to the text, but interpreting the text. Chananya bidas Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, the Ritva is asking, why does the Gemara comment that Rabbi Eliezer is against Hananya? Forget it. Rabbi Eliezer is against all the Tanoim. All the Tanoim unanimously accepted that if you have a Karpaf that's based on Sayim and more, and it was Lo Hukaf Ladir, you're not allowed to carry there. But it means that this tradition in our Mishnah of Rabbi Loi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer contradicts a different tradition in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's the tradition, the transmission of Hananya. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Hananya Omer, and again we have to add the same three words of the Ritva, B'Shem Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have a Karpaf, a Gina, Shelo Hukaf Ledira, then you're allowed to carry the Afilu Hi Arboim So. Now until now we have Rabbi Loi saying that the maximum area that Rabbi Eliezer would allow was 30 so. Now we're going up to 40 so. Kisracha shel melech. And Hananya compares it to a rechava she'achorei armon shel melochim. The palaces of the king had a back plot of land that was very, very large. And that's where the kings would go out and walk there and breathe the air, etc., enjoy it. That's called the rechava. Me'achore armon shel melochim, asracha shel melochim. And the size of the asracha shel melochim, where you'd be allowed to carry on Shabbos, is 40 sah. So transmitted Hananya in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah, quoting Rabbi Eloi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, said up to 30 sah. So the Gemara explains the machlokes and these two traditions of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim, and whether it was Rabbi Loi and or Hananya, Mikra Echad Darshu. They derive the shear of a Karpaf Shalohukaf Ladir that you're allowed to carry in the maximum area, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as recorded in Sefer Melachim Beis, came to visit the great tzaddik Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who had taken ill. And the pasuk says, "Vayehi Yishayo lo yotza el chatzer hatichona." Now, this word chatzer is a kri. Kri meaning that's the way we read the word. But the ksiv is ha'ir. Very strange discrepancy between the ksiv and the kri. And the Torah, by using a ksiv and a kri, is comparing an ear to a chatzer. Now, a chatzer, as we said many times, the courtyard in the back of a house is muta betiltel, unless there are other neighbors that border and use the same chatzer. But if it's exclusively your chatzer, then you're allowed to carry there. And the Torah compares the chatzer to the ksiv, which is ha'ir, to a city. Now, we'll explain the context of the pasuk in just one moment, but let's just see what we derive from this pasuk. Ksiv ha'ir, ukrinen bay, chatzer. So although the pasuk reads, if you read the written letters of the Tanakh in our Mesorah, it reads ha'ir, but we read it out loud, which is called the kri, as chatzer. There must be an equation here between the chatzer and the ear. Mikan, listratia, shel melech, shahayu kayoros beinonis. The Torah wants to tell you that this heter tiltul in a chatzer applies to an area that's as large as an ear, as large as a middle size, average size ear. And from the fact that the pasuk calls the rechava, which is the chatzer chitzona, otherwise known as the Isratia Shalmelech, it calls it a chatzer to tell you that you're allowed to carry there, even though it has the size of an ear. That's how large it is. And it's not Mukefes Ladira, because that's not where the king actually lives. We derive from this that even if you have a large area that was Lo Hukaf Ladira, like this Astratia Shalmelech, but it has the dimensions, the area of a city, an average city, it's mutal etaltil. It has the same status as a chatzer. Just like you're allowed to carry in a chatzer, and we don't care how large the chatzer is, you're allowed to carry in the asratia shel melech, which is a karpaf, or a gina, Shelo hukaf ledira, that has the size of an average, the area of an average size city. And the machlokas now between Rabbi Loi and Chananya is what is the average size of the city? Marsovar, according to Rabbi Loi, and what is the size of an average city? Kibes kur, a place where you can plant a kur of tfua, which means it's 30 sa. Umarsa, Rabbi Chananya holds that a city, an average city, has the size of our boim sahavyon, which means 40 sa. And these two interpretations and understandings of what the size area of the average city is going to determine under what, how large of an area could be muta to taltos, considered like a chutz, even though it's a karpaf shalohuka libdira. Now, let's go back a little bit to the context of the pasuk, so we'll understand the next piece of Gemara. Chizkio fell ill. Yeshayo Anovi came to rebuke him in the name of God. And he said to him, Tzav lebeischa ki meisa tov lo tichya. Write out your last will and testament, because you're not going to live. Then Yeshayo leaves the environment of Chizkio, goes out through the back door into the Rechava on the other side of the palace, and he starts praying on behalf of Chizkio. And before he is able to exit from the chatzer of the house of Chizkio, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and he says, go back to Chizkio and tell Chizkio that I've heard his tefillah and that he will survive another 15 years. So the Gemara says, V'yishayo, my boy, Hossam. Why was Yishayo hanging around the Rechava, which is that plot of land, that spans of land, which is Me'achore on the outside of the Bayis of Chizkio? That's not usually where you go in and out. Why didn't you go through the front door? Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Melanich Shecholach Chizkio, Veholach Yishayo, Vehoshiv Yeshiva Al Pischo. I'm going to explain this Gemara based on the Marsha. The Marsha says that Yeshayo HaNovi got a prophetic vision in which he saw the Malach HaMavis was coming to take the life of Chizkio, and the Malach HaMavis likes to come stealthily through the back door. So Yeshayo, in order to offset the power of the Mashchis of the Malach HaMavis, he was Moshev Yeshiva Shel Talmidim Al Pischo. He set up a koil, right, the LC koil. And where did he set it up? On the Pesach, on the opening of Chizkio. And why? Because when the Malach HaMavis comes and he sees the Bnei HaYeshiva that are studying Torah, he will be, so to speak, his power is liquidated. He will not be able to take Chizkio's life. Mikan, we derive from this, L'tamid Chochem Shechola, if a scholar takes ill, Moshivin Yeshiva Al Pischo, we should set up a yeshiva at the entrance to his house in order to protect the Malach HaMavis. V'lav Milsi, but the Gemara rejects it. No. We're not going to derive this from the case of Yeshayo and Chizkio. Dilma Osi Ligruye Beis Satan. It could very well be possible that you're going to cause the exact opposite. It's going to boomerang against your face. The Malach HaMavis is going to see that they're trying to start up with him and they're trying to prevent him from doing his job and taking a person's life, he's going to put in an extra effort in his desire and his agenda to take a person's life. The exception to the rule was Yeshayo and Chizkio, because Chizkio was such a great tzaddik, that's why Yeshayo was able to do this enterprise of being Moshev Yeshiva Al Pesach Beso, and to be mispalel on behalf of Chizkio HaMelech. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Loi heard something else from Rabbi Eliezer, and that is, V'chein shamati mimenu, anshei chotze sheshochach echad v'lo erev, beso osu. What happens is, let's say you have five different neighbors, for example, that share one common courtyard. They have to set up an Erev Chatzeres to allow them to carry from their house into the courtyard and vice versa. one of them, one of the five, forgot about the Eruv. Now, if he did not participate in the Eruv, then he undermines the validity of the Eruv for all the other four neighbors. But what he can do is he can be mevatel his reshus. And that means he makes a declaration and he says, my reshus is not mine, it's yours. And he gives up, so to speak, his possession, his ownership over his reshus. He's no longer considered one of those who has rights, legal rights to use the chatzer. And therefore, the other four dayarim are allowed to carry from their homes into the chatzer. Why? Because this person, we'll call him Reuven, who was absent-minded, he didn't take part in the Erev on Erev Shabbos, he was mevatel his reshus to the chatzer. However, says Rabbi Eliezer, beso osur, which means that he himself, we'll call him Reuven, after he's mevatel his reshus, he has no rights and no permissibility to carry on Shabbos from his house out to the chatzah, because he was mevatel his reshus. However, the implication is that Shar b'nei chatzer, we'll call them Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar, the other four neighbors that share that chatzah, they're allowed to go into Reuven's house and carry from Reuven's house out to the chatzah, because Reuven was mevatel his chatzah for the other dayarim, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar. So they now have rights to go in, and they're permitted to go into his house. Again, they can't trespass, but to take something from his house out to the chatzah. So the Gemara asks the following kashavot. Tanan, we have a Mishnah later on Daf Samach Tesamid Beis, that if someone forgot to participate in the Eruv with the other Bnei HaChotzer, and he was Mevatel's Rishus, Beso Osu Lohotzi Lachnus Lo, Lo Vilahem. Look at those two words. He, Reuven, who was Mevatel his Rishus, because he had forgotten to take part of the Eruv, and the other neighbors that share that Chotzer, likewise, are not allowed to carry from the house into the chatzer. So we see clearly that the mission is against Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rav Huna Breid, Rabbi Shua, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes tells us lo kasha. And here we turn to Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, v'ha Rabbanon. That which Rabbi Loi in our Mishnah told us that the other Bnei HaChotzer are allowed to carry from Reuven's house after he was Mevatel's Rishus out to the Chotzer, that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. However, the Mishnah later on, that even the house of the Mevatel, meaning of Reuven, who was Mevatel's Rishus to the other Bnei HaChotzer, is also not only to Reuven himself, but even to the other Bnei HaChotzer, that's the Rabbanon. And now the Gemara wants to suggest an interpretation on a deeper level of this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanon. Kishetimtze lomar, which means if you'll be medagdik, you'll be very careful, and you'll study it, and come up with the essence of it, is l'divrei Rabbi Eliezer, mevatel reshus chatzero, is reshus beso bitel, and here we should add an extra word for purpose of elucidation. We should read it, hamevatel reshus chatzero, af reshus Beso Bitel, which means the following: even though his declaration explicitly was, I'm being mevatel my rights to the chatzer, he's, by implication, although he didn't say it explicitly, is being mevatel not only his chatzer, but also his bias. And therefore, he's like a guest in his own house, vis-a-vis the other Bnei HaChotzer, because he was mevatel not only his chatzer, but even his bias. Hence, Rabbi Eliezer concludes that the other Bnei HaChotzer allowed to carry from his bias, meaning from Reuven's bias, after he was Mevatel's Rishus, which means that he was Mevatel even his bias, out into the Chotzer. Rabbanon, they disagree. HaMevatel Rishus Chatzero, if he made a declaration of being Mevatel the Rishus on my Chotzer, Rishus Beso Lo Bitel, he never implied that he was Mevatel his bias, Beso. So his bias remains his bias, and he has exclusive possession over his bias. He wasn't mevatel his bias for the Bnei HaChotzer, and therefore they're not allowed to carry from his house out into the Chotzer. All this was said by Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara asks Pshita, what, Rav Sheshes, did you add to my understanding of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanon? It was quite clear that Rabbi Eliezer held that there was a bittul not only on the chatzer, but by tacit implication on the bais as well. Whereas Rabbanon say, no, we go basar lishono. His declaration was that he's being mevatel his chatzer, not being mevatel his rishus. So what did Rav Sheshes add? Omarachva, anov ravhuna bar chidina targuminu. We heard Rav Sheshes' lecture, and we will explain his lecture and show you how he meant in the original lecture, which hasn't been presented yet, but now be presented, he meant to go one step further in our understanding of the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. Lo nitzra ela lechamisha sheshiruyim v'chotzer echos v'shochach echmem v'lo irev. Is the Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, k'shu mevato reshuso, ein tzorch levato kol echad v'echad, v'l'rabbonan k'shu mevato reshuso, tzorch levato kol echad v'echad. Rav Sheshes takes the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham and he applies it to a new case, a new discussion. And he addresses the following issue. When a person is mevatel his reshus, does he have to be mevatel his reshus to each one of the bnei achotzer? He has to make this declaration to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar, hereby I'm being mevatel my reshus. Or is it sufficient that he's being mevatel his reshus to one of them, let him choose out of the hat, and that's enough to validate his bittul reshus for all the bnei achotzer, even though he only explicitly mentioned and was mevatel to one of them? And all this boils down to the following issue. Ha-mevatel b'ayin yofa mevatel o eino mevatel b'ayin yofa. Which means, when we see a person being mevatel, his reshus, do we have a right to expand it and to assume b'ayin yofa that he's doing it in a very magnanimous way? That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And we see that in two ways, with two nafkaminas. Number one, when he's mevatel his chatzer, reshus and his chatzer, he is, by implication, being mevatel not only his chatzah, but even his bias. We're expanding the scope of his bittul. And in the second afkamina, when he was mevatel vis-a-vis Shimon, then by implication, implicit in his bittul, he's being mevatel his reshus not only to Shimon, but to Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, anybody who shares that chatzah. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. That's called a mevatel b'ayin yofa u'mevatel. The Rabbanan disagreed. The Rabbanan said, we are bound and limited by his statement, his declaration. He's not Ayin Yofa. We're not going to go beyond his declaration. And therefore, number one, if he's Mevatel, the Rishus in his Chotzer, that's it. He's not being Mevatel, the Rishus in his Bias, and the Bnei Chotzer cannot carry from his Bias out into the Chotzer. Number two, if he's Mevatel, his Rishus to Shimon, that's good. But it's only good for Shimon. And that's not going to be enough to allow the Bnei HaChotzer to carry out on Shabbos from their homes into the Chotzer, because you need a bittul l'chol echad v'echad. There's no such thing as a mevatel b'ayin yofu mevatel. The Gemara comments and says, Keman azla hodisanya. We have a brisa to which shita does it reflect? Chamisha sheshriyim v'chotzer echad. Shochach echad mev v'lo erev. U'kshu mevatel reshuso eino tzarech levatel reshus l'chol echad v'echad. When he's mevatel his reshus, he doesn't have to make this bittul in front of and on behalf of each one of the bnei achotzer. He can choose one out of the group, keman. That reflects the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. We have now a slightly different formulation of the transmission of Rav Sheshes. Slightly different formulation, but let's not get confused. It's just a question of how Rav Sheshes expressed himself. There's no machlokas in the following Gemara. Rav Kahana Masnei Hochi, he had a quote from Rav Tivyomi. Excuse me. What I meant to say was the following, that Rav Kahana had the transmission of Sheshes exactly as we have said it above, but Rav Tivyomi had a different transmission. Again, it's not different in content or in halacha, but it was the following. Kimana Ozal Hadassanya, what Rav Sheshes stated, this was the subject of a Shia, was the Bryce that we spoke about, and to determine the identity of this anonymous Bryce, who exactly is talking in this Bryce. And the Brayse says Chamisha is true in Bechatzar Echad V'Shochach Echad Mem V'Lo Erev Trumavata Rishus and Yitzoch Levata Rishus Kol Echad V'Echad. Came along Rav Sheshes and he says, why does the Brayse say he only has to be Mavata Rishus to one of them? Kiman, because that reflects on Rav Huna Rav Yudam Rav Sheshes Kiman Ki Rav Yulias. So again, as I emphasized before, Rav Tuv Yomi is not disagreeing with any halacha that we had until now, but it was just a question of where and in what context Rav Sheshes formulated his description. Amalei Rav Papal Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer. When Rabbi Eliezer holds that if a person is bevatel the shus of his chotzer, then the other bnei achotzer are allowed to carry from his bias out into the chotzer. I amar lo mevatilna. What would be the din? This was the question Rav Papa raised to Abaye. If he explicitly says, I'm not being mevatel my bias. I'm only being mevatel reshus to my chotzer, but not to my bias. Same question in the flip side. Ula Rabbanon. And according to Rabbanon, who hold that if a person is mevatel reshus to his chotzer, the bnei chotzer are not allowed to take carry from the house, from his house, into the chotzer. I omar, what if he says explicitly, mevatilna, I'm being mevatel, even my reshus to my bias, my, what would be the din? And the Gemara now analyzes the tzadei asafek, the different sides in Rav Papa's vacillation. One side was time of the Rabbi Eliezer mishum the kosomer avatol reshus chatzera. Is reshus beso nami bitel, that a person usually, unless we know otherwise, exercises what we call an ayin yofa, and even though explicitly he only mentioned he's being mevatel reshus of his chotzer, implicitly he's going even further magnanimously, he's being mevatel reshus in his bias. But this individual, Omar, he declared, ano lo mevatilna. I am not being mevatel reshus of my bias. I don't want to be a guest in my own house. And in such a, if that's the analysis of Rabbi Eliezer, that is based on our assumption that Bayin Yofa, but this man told us he's not being mevat Bayin Yofa, then in such a case, Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's also lahotzi mibayis shalom, not only for him, but also for the other bnei achot. O Dilma, here's the other tzad in Rav Papa's Sofek. Taima de Rabbi Eliezer, it's not based on umdana, it's not based on what we assume he meant, but rather, Mishum de bayis below chotzer lo avide inshi de dire. Again, this may sound a little bit different than our contemporary sociology, but back in the day, every house had its own chotzer. You know, they used to do a lot of what we do inside a house, they did outside in the courtyard. And when a person is mevatel reshus to his chotzer, then basically what he's doing is he's saying that I don't have a bias at all, because what's a bias without a chotzer? A bias below chotzer is not a bias. And if that be the case, then we should imply here that he's not even allowed to carry from his house out to the chotzer. Ukika omar lo mevatil no lav kol kmine. If even though he declared, I don't want to be mevatil reshus of my bias, he doesn't have the power to do so. Afal gav di omar Dairina, he makes a statement, I can live in a house without a chotzer, lav klum komer. No one would accept such a rule. It's an absolute ironclad rule, without exception, that a person doesn't live in a house without a chotzer. And if he's giving up his reshus to the chotzer, then ipso facto, by definition, he's giving up his reshus in the bias as well. And if this person says, no, I am the one in a million, and I will live in a house without a chotzer, we apply a principle, listen carefully, of butla daito eitzel kol adam. We don't relate and consider the validity of what he thinks against the entire world. Ula Rabbanon, what was the suffix of a papa regarding the Shitas Rabbanon? I Omar, mevatilna mai, taima de Rabbanon mishum de kasavri, shavavato reshus chatzero reshus beso lo bitel. Is the Rabbanon based on an umdana? And the umdana is, we shot up that since he's made a statement that he's mevatel's chotzer, we imply that he's not being mevatel's bias. But hi, this individual, Sha'omar, he said explicitly, mevatilna, I will be mevatel not only my chotzer, but also my bias, is therefore the bitel is chal even, and it's valid even on the bias, which means that the other b'nei chotzer will let it carry from his bias out into the chutzah. Dilma, time in the rabbanim yishum dilo ovid inish de mesalik nafshe legamre mi bayis v'chotzer. A person, as a general rule, does not remove himself from a bayis and a chutzah. Again, just to read the Gemara one more time. Delo ovin inish disalik nafshe legamre mi bayis v'chotzer. A person doesn't want to leave himself, you know, with the pockets, you know, that you can turn over the pockets, leave himself with absolutely nothing. So he was mevatel his rishus. He's not going to mevatel the rishus on his bayis. He still wants to have ownership rights and possession of his house. He's got a roof over his head. Because if he would be mevatel even the rishus over his house, then havi ki orech legabeu, it's like he's a guest in his own house. That's ridiculous. Vahai ki omar mevatilna, even though this person made a statement, he says, I'm willing to be mevatel not only my chotzer, but also my bayis. Lav kol kmine. It's not within his possession to do so, his powers to do so, because butla daito etzel kolon. Malays, Abai responded to Rav Papa to answer both questions. Bein l'Rabbanan or Bein l'Rabbi Elezer came in the Goli, Daite Goli. The whole issue of Rabbanan and Rabbi Elezer is an issue of Umdana. How do we shots up and evaluate what his Das was? And here, if he was Megala's Das, in the case of Rabbi Elezer, that he does not want to be Mavatel, the Rishus of his Bias. Or in the case of Rabbanan, he does want to be Mavatel, the Rishus of his Bias. That explicit statement is valid, and he has removed himself from that Umdana. Then the last part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eloi transmits a halach in Marar in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Shabbatim imenu sheyotzim be'arkablin be'pesach, that arkablin can be used as Marar. My arkablin, what is arkablin? Omer Ish Lakish, atzvasa charuziasa, which means, I'll translate it to Hebrew and then into English. Siv aveh gadel sviv adekel. Dekel is a palm tree. And in English, a siv is a vine that's twisted around the trunk of the tree and is very bitter. And that could be used as mor. Hadron alecha osim pas. Now, the next Mishnah, the next Perek, deals primarily with Erev Tchumim, but the opening statement of the Mishnah applies both to Erev Tchumen and to Erev Chatzeros. And for that matter, Shitufei Muvos. And that is Bakol Ma'arvin. Any foodstuff is valid for Erev Chatzeros and Erev Tchumen. Umishtatvin. And for Shituf Muvos. Chutz min amayim umin amelach. There are only two food substances, edibles, one is water and the other is salt, which are not valid for an Erev. Now, the reason why these are not valid for an Eruv, as the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit later on, is because it's not called Mazon. Now, again, I'm going to say something that's not necessarily scientifically correct, but Mazon means it has to have a calorie content. And there's no calorie content to salt or water. Okay, maybe that's not exactly accurate. You'll check it out for me. Doc, maybe you have something to say about that. I don't know if I'm right. But anyway, salt and water are not called mazon. Actually, the Gemara later on is going to give us a whole list of other substances, other foods that are not mazon. They don't really fill you up. They're only sort of machshirim. They make it easier to eat. V'akol nikach b'kesef maser. Chutz min amayim min amelach. We have a parallel halacha with regard to kesef maser. We're talking about maser sheni. And maser sheni, which is separated on years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah year. Those maseros are now subject to pidyon. Pidyon means that you transfer the kedusha of the maser over to money. You take the money up to Yerushalayim, those coins, and you buy food. And you can buy any food you want with the exception of mayim and melach, because the Torah says in the parasha of Maser Sheni, it says pri mi pri, and pri is something that's mazin, lafuki, to the exclusion of mayim and melach. He has a third halacha where mayim and melach are in that same exclusion category. Hadnodim and amazon. A person takes a neder that he enjoins himself from mazon for a certain period of time. Is mutar b'melach u'b'mayim. He's allowed to eat salt and water. The Mishnah goes on with an unbelievable chiddush. Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin. A nazir is enjoined from drinking wine. We're now talking about Erev Tchumen. And Erev Tchumen requires putting food, chutz l'tchum, where you're going to be konish visa, if that food is edible. But wine is not edible or drinkable for a nazir. But the answer is, as the Gemara is going to explain later on in this perek, that if the nazir can't drink the wine, you and I can drink the wine. And that gives it the status of an ochel and is valid for an eruv. Ve li Yisrael b'truma. Well, Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma, that's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim, but a kohen can eat the truma. So truma, even for Yisrael, is valid for an eruv because it's royal achila. Sumchus omer b'chulin amalo b'truma. Sumchus is of the opinion against the chachamim that an Eruv for Yisrael, a non-Kohen, has to be an Eruv of Chulin, but not a Truma. The Eruv has to be Royal Achila for the Yisrael for whom the Eruv is being set up. Now, we're going to have an issue here why Sukhus only disagrees in the case of Truma. He should have disagreed in the case of Yayin L'Nazir as well. That's going to be part of the Gemara. L'Kohen B'Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras is an area where the Rabbanan say it's tummy, as if there was a corpse, and anywhere you stand up in this Beis HaPras, we assume that your tummy mess. And a Kohen is not allowed to enter into a Beis HaPras. It's kind of like entering into a cemetery. What is a Beis HaPras? That's an area field. There was a corpse that was once buried in that field. We know that for fact. We don't know where the corpse is. And then subsequently, someone, perhaps unbeknown to him, does a threshing of this field. And now we're afraid that the corpse, actually, what was left of the corpse, let's call it bones, got spread out throughout the entire Beis HaPras. And anytime you step into the Beis HaPras, we have to be afraid that maybe you're stepping on an Etzem Kisaora, which is the shear of Tumas Mes. So how could a Kohen set up his Eruv in a Beis HaPras? He's not allowed to even enter the Beis HaPras. He has no access to that food. It's basically a non-edible. And that's going to be the sugya of the Gemara later on, that you can be matir, a kohen, to go into a Beis HaPras through what's called neficha. Neficha means that he blows the surface level of the soil and separates it in such a way that he can check whether or not he's stepping over a bone. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilu Bein HaKvaros, you're even allowed to set up an Erev Tchumen in a cemetery between the various Kvarim, the grave sites. Why? How would the Kohen possibly be allowed to enter into a Beis HaKvaros? Mipnei sheyochel lochutz velelech velechol. There is a way in which the Kohen could enter into a Beis HaKvaros in what's called an Agalah, that's called the Shido Tevo Migdal, in which he is surrounded by Mechitzos, and he will not contract Tumas Mes. And therefore, since there's a theoretical possibility of how he can get access to the Beis HaKvaros and eat the food that he put there on Erev Shabbos as an Erev Tchumen, therefore the Erev is valid. So we got up to the top of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and I'm going to wish you all a great Shabbos, and you'll have to learn Daf Chav Zayin on your own. Again, possibly we could get together to learn Daf Chav Zayin at some point, if you like, but officially, in Mirtz Hashem, we will begin on Yom Rishon with Chav Ches, which is the Amud, the Daf for Yom Rishon. Okay. Chicago. Thank you so much.